This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
It's the final hour of the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980 as well. And it's been a great show. We had Mike Sainer still on off the top of the show. And if you're like, dang, I want to go hear that, don't do anything right now because we're going to play it for you coming up at 6:30. So Mikey Sainer still, he's not going to rejoin us, but we will let you hear our chat with him. It was a good one coming up at 6:30. Right now, though, it is after or just after 6 o'clock, which means we are just after the time that we should have been giving you storylines. So without further delay, let's hit it.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick Six at Six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right. Mostly we've moved on from the Hail Mary earlier in the week, but I mean, come on. Do you really think that we're not going to let you hear from the coordinators, especially Cliff Kingsbury, on that?
Number one.
So Cliff was asked about the Hail Mary and just kind of what went into it, the details of it all, and his vantage point on what was obviously one of the craziest plays in the history of the league, certainly in the history of the franchise, and certainly anything that's happened recently around here.
A ton of reps throughout the course of a year. What's crazy, we have a guy on our staff, Dave Rye, who's been a part of five now. So three in Green Bay, one in Arizona, and one here. So he's kind of the expert, but when we got to Arizona my first year, he and Tom Clements, who's Green Bay quarterback coach, legendary, one of the best quarterback coaches of all time, Coach Favre, Rodgers, all those guys, they kind of installed it like this was just going to happen. Like, it's a normal play. I'm like, this never happens. Like, what are y'all talking about? But they had been a part of three with Rodgers. So we kind of bought in and have been fortunate to be a part of two of them. And the guys, I mean, it's about players, not plays, like I've said. And the guys just executed flawlessly and incredible play with it.
I think that's genuinely hilarious that in Green Bay, Rodgers was so good at them that they're just like, yeah, this is how it works. That is one of the freaky things about Aaron Rodgers' just insane record with those. But now they've done it. They've done it here. How surprised was Cliff that it worked again?
Oh, there's no doubt. And the last one was COVID, so there were no fans, and it was just kind of us screaming. So this was a lot more exciting, and that was really, Kyler made an incredible play, and he saw Hop one-on-one and took his chance. There's just Hop going up and making a play, and this one took everybody, and so that was really special.
So Cliff's now been a part of two, three more, and he'll match David Rye, although David Rye, if they do it again here, would be a part of that one too, the tight ends coach. Kind of crazy he was a part of that many. As for Joe Witt's side of things, what did he hear specifically from the crowd after pandemonium hit in Landover?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't see much of it because I was pissed. We had just gave up the touchdown. So I got up and I was walking out of the box. And then I turned around and I was like, okay, all right. I was a little bit surprised about the play before the play. I was like, oh, they gave us a sideline. We're going to have a chance at this, at the Hail Mary. And so I turned and I looked at the TV and I said, oh, we have time. I said, we're going to really have a chance at this Hail Mary. And so now I'm getting excited as the play's going on. And the ball went up. And then I saw it happen. I'm watching the TV. I didn't actually see the screen. And I said, wow, we caught it. And so I just stood there. And everybody's going crazy. I was like, because I was still a little pissed. You know, we let them score, and then I just went ballistic with everybody else, and we just went running down the hall to the elevator. But so I really didn't get to see the fan reaction until I saw the pictures of it. But you know, I'm glad we have J5. He does an excellent job, but we shouldn't put him in that situation as a defense. We should close the game, finish the game in those winning moments. And I blame myself because we were in a solid call, but there was a better call that I should have got to, and I didn't. And that's not acceptable.
That is, honestly, Anthony, probably my favorite reaction so far to the Hail Mary. What a perfect reaction from the defensive coordinator. I was so happy, but I was still a little pissed.
Nah, that's hilarious.
That's so good. It's the correct reaction from Joe Witt Jr. All right, moving on.
Number two.
One thing that I had noticed in the Chicago game was that the Bears would substitute pretty late. And like the officials have to let the other team substitute if the offense substitutes. But to slow down the tempo, the Bears would wait as long as possible. Was Cliff onto that, and what does he make of it?
No, we've seen it sporadically throughout, and it's just really on us to make sure that we're concise with our substitutions and we're nailing it. Otherwise, they're going to be allowed to, you know, hold the ball, and when we sub, they sub, and they tend to take their time doing that, which I understand. It's part of the game, and it's built in that way, but that just means we have to be really good when we do go fast or we sub that we're dialed in.
And as for the protocol?
Yeah, I mean, it's very subjective, crew to crew. And yeah, I'm not going to get into that too much, but they are allowed ample time, in my opinion.
That is the wheels turning in Cliff Kingsbury's head of, do I want to get fined today or not? I wish it was more consistent. That's my only thing. I do think it is something where if I was a defensive coordinator, would I be trying to manipulate it some? But it's not even like Washington is always trying to get the playoff now. It's just like sometimes these refs don't get out of the way and then they have to rush because there's three on the shot clock. And that's just ridiculous. Like they've had ample time. The players are all on the field. Why are you still standing there? Get the hell out of the way. And so it limits pre-snap motion. Like there's things that you might have to kill in a play because the defense, you know, not the defense, but the referees are just limiting it for a long time. So yeah, it's I find the way that it has been administered inconsistent, as Cliff said, and annoying, which he didn't say because he didn't want to get fined.
Number three.
As for other things that are annoying for Cliff Kingsbury, this one he is more willing to talk about because it's something that they need to clean up. It was a problem last weekend, and it was a problem the first time that the Commanders played the Giants. Red zone execution. What you got, Cliff?
Yeah, it definitely needs to be better. I thought we moved the ball well at times against Chicago, but had a chance to really put it away a couple times. I thought that could put a lot of pressure on them, make it more one-dimensional, and we just floundered around down there, whether it was bad play calls or not the type of execution that we expect. And it was similar to the New York game as well. Just have to call better plays and have to execute better, and our guys know that. We can't expect to win like that. Defense did a tremendous job continuing to get us the ball back, continues to give us chances to put that team away, and we just didn't.
There's a couple of plays where things are kind of dead and there's not a lot going on. I have a hard time putting a whole lot on Cliff when you have Ertz have a ball that just gets jarred out, when you have McCaffrey just missing getting a toe down and a great pressure by Montez Sweat on that first drive of the game, when you have another touchdown that's caught off the board by your all everything right guard being a yard and a half too far down the field on a flag that often is not thrown because it wasn't really part of the play. Like, those are good plays. They should have been touchdowns. And there's a couple of others that maybe, okay, yeah, these are covered up. That didn't give Jaden a whole lot of options. Maybe there could have been a better run. But, like, typically the run game, it's just a matter of execution. Maybe you ran into a bad look because you could have anticipated better based off their personnel or something. But at the end of the day, man, like, this stuff is happening fast. I think Cliff's done a pretty good job down there. And when they failed, it's been execution-based. And even that first game, lots of penalties down there. And all of a sudden, you're in bad down and distance. And it's like, how many times are we going to gain the same 5 yards? So it is definitely something that needs to get better. And Cliff, if he can do a better job, should. But if we do the blame pie, I think that we are definitely putting this far more on the players than on the coaches. The back half of our Pick 6 at 6 next, including both coordinators and what it's like to face a team for the second time in the season. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Commanders quarterback Mikey Sainer is still on the show earlier today. If you missed it, we're going to replay it for you coming up in 10 minutes here on the Hoffman Show. We're always live on the Team 980 and the free Odyssey app. Well, we're not always live. When the show is on, it's always live. It's just, Anthony, we work between 4 and 7.
Yeah, I'm glad you fixed that and cleaned that up.
Just imagine 24-7 Hoffman Show.
That would be a lot.
Too much.
That will require us sleeping. Standing up while sleeping.
Nope.
I'd rather not.
Sleep's really important. People value your sleep. I think that is necessary. Anyway, apropos of none of that, it's time to continue on our pick six biggest Commanders storylines of the day.
Number four.
And the biggest Commander storyline of the week, if you will, is that obviously Jaden Daniels and company are going to face the New York Giants for a second time this season. That is something that Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt were both asked about today. Cliff, first on Jaden playing a team for the second time for the first time.
Really well at that point. You have a lot of intel and you've seen each other on the field. And so to me, it's about not trying to do too much and just stay within yourself and execute at a high level, which he's done so far this year. But it's a disruptive group. Like I said, I think they've gotten better and better. And the games always haven't ended the way they wanted. They've been in every game and the defense played at a high level.
It has and it hasn't. Their pass rush is crazy good. Defensively, their pass rush is good. Their run defense is not very good. And Cliff is saying the right things, but realistically, I think that the Commanders' offense has gotten way, way better since week two, and I don't think the Giants' defense has gotten that much better since week two. Other side of the ball, you could argue the Giants' offense has regressed since week two. They do not look good right now. Talked about that with Brandon Tierney from WFAN earlier on in the show, but what does Joe Witt have to say about where the Giants offense is the second time around this season?
Once again, they're a team that has a really good scheme. I know, you know, they might be a little bit frustrated with the numbers or the output, but the scheme is really good. They have outstanding players that we're going to have to make sure that we account for. You know, Neighbors, he had a really good day on us last time. So I have to do a better job of making sure that we have a plan for him that doesn't allow him to just get loose like he did last time. But it really starts with the quarterback. The quarterback is a guy that has arm talent and can beat you with his feet, and they're not afraid to run him. Okay, and so that opens up a whole bunch of things that they can do, and we just have to make sure that we communicate at a high level, we understand what we anticipate them to do, and we go execute our plan.
And that's the thing. They do present quite a bit of a challenge. There is a lot there that Mike Kafka, the offensive coordinator, and Brian Daboll, who's obviously works very closely with him as the head coach, put at you defensively to deal with. the thing is, you can mess up on some plays and the Giants are just not going to hit them because they're not very good. And Daniel Jones is going to miss throws and he's going to miss reads and their offensive line is going to miss blocks and they're going to miscommunicate. They're going to miss target runs. They could have the perfect call on and then I'm just picking someone randomly. This is not meant to be an attack on their right guard, but let's say it's their right guard goes and blocks the wrong guy and all of a sudden Daron Payne is free and what should be a gain of 30 is a minus two. That kind of stuff happens against New York a lot. Because they're only so good as a football team.
Number five.
As for the Malik Nabers problem, obviously that is going to be a secondary wide focus. And towards the end of that first matchup, they really did make it secondary wide. They started doubling and bracketing Malik Nabers quite a bit. So how is the secondary playing right now for Joe Witt Jr.? How does he feel about their level?
Yeah, you know, the last 5 weeks, the whole defense, we've played well. Even the Baltimore game, you know, that's part of the last 5 weeks. But the secondary, Jason Simmons, Tommy Donatell, William Gay, they've just done an outstanding job of gluing those guys together, okay? We talked about the front rushing as a unit. Well, they're covering as a unit, you know. And, you know, there's times that we might be in man concepts, but we still have to pass routes, you know, if we want to lag it or whatever we want to do from that standpoint. But when we're in our zone concepts, over routes, we've done a really nice job of passing those. I don't think we've given up a lot of explosive passes. I know we're like 6th or 7th in the league and fewest explosive passes, and we would like to be, you know, top five in that area, because if they don't get chunks, it becomes hard to score. I think the last 5 games, I think we're giving up at 15.6 or 7 points a game, and if you're in that range, all right, now you're playing high level defense. And so the secondary, they're not giving up chunks, and they're really communicating and playing together, and we have to continue that. All right, we can't come up here next week and say, but this game, you know. So that's what we're working for.
Joe Witt on his secondary, and that makes a lot of sense. They have gotten so much better at communicating these things, and you see it, just less coverage busts, less guys running wide open. Yeah, sometimes you're going to give up some yards, but don't give up the big one. You see what happens with the Bears last week. They get the big one, they don't have to earn it, and it's just a different game. And they didn't give up any big explosive chunks for most of that game. They give up the swift 57-yarder and then that 30-yarder from Caleb Williams to DJ Moore down on the goal line. And it's the only 2 times they scored all game. So Washington has done a fairly good job at that. And then even if you do make a mistake, whether it's commit a penalty or whatever, in the middle of the field, you have time to bow up and make good on it. And they play with an aggressiveness that does, force some level of regular turnovers, fumbles, things like that. Obviously, they've gotten a couple picks. They speed teams up. So it's going to be interesting to watch that this weekend and how they treat Nabers specifically, who has big play, explosive play written all over him. One way that you can avoid that, a pass rush. And Johnny Newton has certainly joined that party.
Number six.
And Joe was asked a number of questions about Johnny Newton today. The most interesting one to me, though, is how Johnny is pairing with Daron Payne since John Allen got hurt.
I don't think it's really giving you anything different. I think you got to put Phil in there, because Phil's played well. He's done his job. Big man playing big. But you know, I don't think it's anything different, because, you know, J.A. and Payne and Johnny, they're all excellent players. And so we just have to make sure that, you know, Phil and Sheldon and whoever's coming in there are just playing to the standard. You know, I'm pleased with how J.A. was playing. I'm pleased with how those men are playing.
It doesn't surprise me to hear Joe say that it's not that different. One, I don't think he wants to throw anyone under the bus. He's a very smart guy, and he's playing the politics game. But also, Johnny and John are similar enough players. They're a little bit undersized. They like to shoot gaps. They're really strong, but obviously the size sometimes is going to be a factor. But they're really quick. And so the types of things you ask them to do are, I think, on some level similar. And so the play off of Daron becomes very similar as well, versus a guy like Phil, who's like big man play big. I actually love that phrase. I'm going to start using it all the time, and we'll probably within a week forget that I stole it from Joe Witt. I'll do my best to remember. But he plays differently than John Allen. Johnny Newton, hey, if you see it, man, like, go make a play. Shoot a gap. He's got a little more pass rush juice. So obviously, he's a rookie. He's super talented. There's going to be weeks where he looks awesome. There's going to be some weeks where it's like, eh, let's maybe get Phil a couple of extra reps because we just rather have the solid, steady play than the up and down nature of a younger guy. But obviously, last week was fantastic. And the interior of the Giants' offensive line has struggled, so it could be another opportunity this week. That's our pick six at six here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, Commanders cornerback Mikey Sainristil. We talked to him right off the top today, so for those of you listening now that probably missed that, we don't want you to miss it. We're going to play that interview for you. Mikey, next on the Team 980. The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And off the top of the show today, we were joined by Commanders corner Mike Sainristil. Wanted to let those of you that maybe were still at work at the time hear that conversation. So without further ado, Mikey Sainristil, everybody. Here on a Thursday on the Hoffman Show, Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app and, of course, streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. It's our pleasure to welcome in, right off the top of the show, Washington Commanders quarterback Mike Sainristil. Mikey, what's up, dude? Appreciate your time. How you doing on this Thursday?
I'm doing great, man. I'm getting ready for the Giants. Just got out of practice, got to head into meetings in a little bit, but feeling great, man. Excited. Happy to be here. Appreciate you for having me.
Absolutely. Are you a big Halloween guy, by the way?
Not really. Today's my girl's birthday, so that's the biggest
okay.
to get.
That clearly takes precedence.
Gonna celebrate that.
I hear you on that. I'm not a big Halloween guy either. My producer is dressed like Nelly right now. He's got the Band-Aid on and the whole deal over there. So this is his day. But we'll let him have that. You have that with your girl, and then we're just gonna talk football for the next 10 minutes. I don't want to ask you too much about the Hail Mary play, just because our guys have mostly moved on. But there was a moment from you being mic'd up with it that I wanted to kind of ask you about. In a larger picture sense, which, you know, for fans that haven't seen it, you were mic'd up, and there's this moment where one of your coaches comes over and says, like, you know, hey, we got to give this thing the energy it needs to the end. And you're like, yeah. And you get up off the bench and you're right there on the sidelines. And of course, we all see what unfolds for you. And you think about the energy of a locker room. How is that something that you feel like you have control over? And how important do you think it is to the success that you guys have had this year?
Just understanding that, like, you know, everybody's involved. Everyone has a role. So really just, like, knowing that, like, whatever your role is, it's important to the success of the team, no matter how big, no matter how small. It's always all hands on deck. And I think that's one thing this team truly embodies, is that, you know, we're one unit. We move together. And we just have full belief in each other. And, you know, in a play like that at the end of the game, no matter what the circumstances, you know, there's never a point in time where you lose belief. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had the belief that, you know, we were going to win that game. And, you know, Jaden did what he did and executed a Hail Mary. And Noah was there to, you know, be where he needed to be to make that catch. So just, you know, having that belief in each other.
Mike Sainristil still with us here on the Hoffman Show. And I know this is a tough question for you because this is your first year. And I get the sense this is how things might have been for you at Michigan. But I covered the league for a long time and have covered the league for a long time. And the interaction between offensive and defensive players is not something that is normal. I actually heard Davante Adams say when he joined the Jets, like, that was something that he was like, hey, like, if we score a touchdown or if you guys make a big play, the other side of the ball needs to go celebrate that. Have you been around a team quite like this? And maybe talking to guys like Bobby, you have been around the league a lot longer. Do you find the togetherness that this unit has across the offense and defense and the 53, you know, 70, including practice squad guys, do you have any sense of how unique that is?
Yeah, it's a true brotherhood. It's not a team where the offense is with the offensive guys, defense is with defensive guys, and then, you know, you have your special teams guys with special teams guys. Like, you know, everyone has a bond with each other. Everyone is friends. Everyone is cool. It's all genuine. It's organic. And as a rookie, this is a great environment to be a part of with veterans who've been in this, you know, been in this league for, you know, 6+ years. Like, being able to be a part of what they have already set out here, the standards that they put here in the offseason, and then embracing us as rookies, just, it's a true team. It's a true brotherhood. And, you know, I wouldn't want to play for anybody else.
Mike Sainristil,
you know, these guys have been treating us here.
Mike Sanders still with us here on the Hoffman Show. Of course, Commanders rookie cornerback. Mikey, what is something that has surprised you that you're like, oh, this is a little bit easier than I thought it might be at the NFL level? And then what's something on the other side where you're like, wow, this is way maybe more difficult or took a lot more work than I anticipated in the transition from the college to the pro game?
If you want the full honesty, I think transitioning wasn't very difficult because of how well Coach Harbaugh, I don't know why I just said his name like that, Coach Harbaugh prepared us at Michigan. Like he ran the program like a pro program. And he, you know, set us up for success at this level. And so for that, I'll always be appreciative of. I think that what's easier for me is from a time standpoint, knowing that everything I do now is straight football. I don't have to worry about class. I don't have to worry about homework, tests, midterms, finals. I'm able to just focus solely on football. And then I think, you know, the tougher part, I guess, is just, you know, as a rookie, just getting adjusted to the speed of the game. You know, you're playing against professionals, guys who have millions and tons of reps at the things they do. You know what I mean? So just – that was the biggest thing for me when I came in is just, you know, getting adjusted to the speed of the game.
Something that I think is, I don't know, I just had this thought, and so I'm going to run it by you, is specific to your position. But you obviously played a lot of nickel in college. That was originally what the thought was here. You've moved outside. But I would imagine playing corner either inside or outside, the difference in the hashes has to matter, just the amount of space. And, you know, if you're playing the nickel in college, sometimes you're on that field side and there is, you know, just tons of space because the hashes are so wide. And then sometimes if you're on the boundary side and they line up tight on that side, there's not a lot of space to deal with. Does any of that translate in terms of the ability to play both in the league because you have played in both tight and wide spaces?
I don't think, you know, from my position specifically, it's made too much of a difference. You know, I think outside corner, it allows, you know, the thing I know is that, like, as a receiver, they do have more space on the sideline because they can line up closer to the numbers as opposed to, you know, if a boundary receiver in college is in the boundary, there's very limited space with him being outside the number to the sideline is very close, you know what I mean? So there is that difference there, but I think the biggest difference is from, you know, college and NFL is the type of plays you'll get. Like in college, the hashes allows them to run a lot more horizontal side to side, east and west plays. Whereas in the NFL, a lot more plays go vertically up the field, a lot more shots downfield. You know, I think that's the biggest thing I've noticed.
Mike Sanders still with us here on the Hoffman Show. What's something that you have really enjoyed about playing under Joe Witt? He's a guy that has a long history with, you know, coaching up the secondary, so that's kind of his baby. Obviously, you have great coaches in Tommy Donatell and on down the list as well. But what's something about Joe that people should know and that you really appreciate?
He is a phenomenal coach, and, you know, his resume speaks for itself. But, you know, what I love about him is that, you know, he lets us get after it. You know, he's gonna, you know, make calls that, you know, put us in position to be successful as a defense. He has full trust in his players. And, you know, I can't speak for everybody, but from what I'm seeing, there's not one person on this defense that doesn't enjoy playing for him. So, you know, he's a coach that I'll go in every single day wanting to get better with and wanting to win with and, you know, win for, play for.
Two more questions for Mike Sanders still here on the Hoffman Show. First one, just I know you can't give too much away here, but how different is it prepping this week going against an opponent for the second time for the first time in your career and obviously the first time this season compared to the weeks of prep leading up to this point?
You know, just because it's our second time, we, you know, focus on, you know, the things that they where they were successful against us the first time. And, you know, just being able to correct those mistakes. And then, of course, just seeing what they've been doing week to week against different opponents and what, you know, what success they've been having. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's always going to come down to what calls our coaches give us and how well we can execute those calls. And then, you know, just knowing that, all right, we're playing our second, you know, second time divisional game, like, you know, the stakes are always much higher when it comes down to divisional opponents. So we just have to be, you know, ready, ready to go on Sunday and just be ready to execute four quarters.
Yeah, Mikey, I know you might. Do you have time for one more quick question, or are you like literally about to run into a meeting right now and I don't want to make you late?
I have time for one more quick one.
Okay. You mentioned Coach Harbaugh earlier. This is a total fun one, non-specific to things now question. You mentioned Coach Harbaugh. We have heard all kinds of crazy stories about him over the years, including this year, him going in ice baths and full khakis and garb and the whole thing. What's your funniest, like, favorite go-to Jim Harbaugh story?
My funniest... honestly... I think it would have been this past winter after the Natty, him keeping his promise to get in the 15-0 tattoo after the national championship.
That's a pretty good one. Yeah, coaches getting tattoos, especially him. He doesn't seem like a big tattoo guy, personally. But
Nah. Not at all. He definitely – I'm surprised he stuck with it. And – He let Trevor Keegan take the tattoo gun and shade out one of the numbers, but it was cool to see. It was funny. You know, we're in there just all laughing at the moment. It was real funny.
How'd he handle the tattoo gun?
He handled it pretty well.
I could just see him being super stoic. This is a man that takes ice baths and khakis. So, you know, it is what it is. Mikey, appreciate the time, man. Best of luck this weekend and the rest of the season, and hopefully we'll talk to you again down the road.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. That's Mike Sanders still with us, everybody, here on the Hoffman Show. All right, that was Mikey earlier on in the program. That's why you're never late for the show, if you can help it. But if sometimes you are late, well, that's why we have a podcast. You can check it out each and every day, any part of the show, every part of the show on demand. Just search The Hoffman Show in your favorite podcast app. At the end of the show, that's the same every single day. Real things, real people said in real microphones is next. Happy Halloween, everybody. Anthony, are you going trick-or-treating tonight? What's the deal at prep? Do like the kids go trick-or-treating? Will you have to be giving out candy tonight?
So we had an assembly earlier today where a lot of the kids dressed up. I didn't get to stay for it because I had other places to be, but I did dress up in character. But yeah, there's a ton of candy already at prep. And we have dorm parents that actually live on campus with us. So they've decorated their doors. They have candy out. If you ask me, have I done any of that? No, because if I did, I know for a fact all of my candy would be gone. So no.
Because you would eat it, or because
the kids would have. Yeah,
they would. But that's the point. You're supposed to give it to the kids.
Yeah, but I at least want to, you know, monitor it so they can knock on my door. I can give them the candy.
Oh yeah, and you can't. You just can't leave it out.
No.
No. The kids can't be trusted. Kids can't be trusted.
No.
Not at all. Parents, yes. Kids, no. But not all parents. Because some parents are still kind of kids.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Don't be selfish. Be a part of the community. Take just one candy bar. So to everyone who's heading out trick-or-treating, best of luck in your scavenges tonight. I just realized we have a couple kids in our... Like, this is our first Halloween in our new place. It's our kind of our last first anything because we've been there like a year now. And there are kids around. Do I need to stop at the store on the way home and get some candy? It's Thursday, right? Yeah. Yeah. Did you tell Rachel?
I think you should, just because there'll probably be people around until 8:30.
No store that's going to have candy, though, at this point.
Everyone's sold out.
Shoot.
Yeah.
Dang, we might have failed. To the kids in my neighborhood, none of whom know you're in my neighborhood. Don't say where I live on the radio. Sorry.
Next year.
It's a small amount of people. I will do better next year. All right, so there's that. Anything else? Mike Sanders still was great. Brandon Tierney was fantastic at 5 o'clock. I really enjoyed it. There was part of me that was about to be like, BT, you want to just do another hour? Like, you want to chat? We barely even got into the Giants defense. But BT was great talking about the Giants and kind of where their struggles are. So if you enjoy hearing the pain of a New Yorker, definitely check that out from 5 o'clock. What? Don't look at me like it's not a good sell. We had really good calls in the 4 o'clock hour as well on how aggressive the Commanders should be at the trade deadline. Just a really excellent show, I thought. through and through today. Thanks to all of you and the guests. Never read the comments. Was really, really fun. So all kinds of good stuff in the podcast if you like it. Tomorrow on the show, what do we got? By the way, I didn't even mention this at 4:30. I should have. Dan Pizzuta, who normally joins us and is great on Thursdays, mm-hmm. he texted me this morning apologizing that he can't come on the show because he was on a plane to Australia for his sister's wedding. I'm like, buddy, you don't have to worry about that. that is fantastic. So you go have a great time. We'll check in with Dan next week. What's coming up tomorrow on the show?
Tomorrow, we have a game preview.
Yes. What's at stake? Predictions on Finish Friday. No Jaden rib drama. That'll be nice.
We don't have a guest for tomorrow either right now.
Oh, okay. We'll fix that.
Yeah.
We might be due for a 48 visit.
Oh, I ran into my man 48 in the press box.
I'm sure you did. It's his job to be there.
Yeah. Great food. That was a good. I haven't been to the press box all year. Great.
You gonna come back in a couple weeks?
Yeah, I will. To have a prior engagement. And it's a reunion for my AAU team, so I'm contemplating whether or not to skip it or not.
All right, we'll parse that out. So maybe Sam Fortier tomorrow, which is news to Sam Fortier.
Real things.
We're not going to be sucked this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
So there used to be a thing in old-timey days. Maytag appliances, the repairman, not really needed. That's what Tress Way dressed up as is Halloween. Thanks to Good Morning Football's Kyle Brandt.
There used to be this ad campaign. I don't know if it still exists. The company Maytag, and they make appliances. And their angle, which is very brilliant, was they had this repairman who would wear a cap and a jacket. And the joke was he sits around just tediously bored. No one ever calls because the appliances don't break down. So the Maytag repairman just sits around and does nothing. Do you know who the Maytag repairman of the NFL is right now? It's a dude named Tress Way.
That's a great bit.
Man.
Both by Kyle and by Tress, because Tress nailed the look. Go to your Instagram feed and search for the Commanders if you want to see it. It's really good. Anthony, were you aware of the Maytag man?
I was not, but I'm fully aware now.
Learn something new every day. We'll see what we learn tomorrow. See you then. BetMGM Tonight is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app